Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the happier happy hour. It's happier because we got a fine guest. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our good friend and host of Morning, let's get it right, Crudy. Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday. And if you miss it live, it also plays out again on Sunday mornings on the Shaw on Devil Radio. Jim, appreciate you coming around, man, because, you know, there's lots of legal stuff to talk about, including a couple of Wisconsin Supreme Court rulings where Hagedorn definitely flipped from the liberal side to the conservative side. But let's start with the ballot drop boxes. Apparently, they're the playthings of tyrants. And now illegal in the state of Wisconsin, apparently.
It is stunning. And to start there linguistically and from the context of the opinion, we've got a Supreme Court justice. Of course, her name is Justice Bradley. And she compared the use of these drop boxes in Wisconsin to election contests that are rigged by dictators in Syria and North Korea. Full stop right there, right? I mean, is that not more of a reason to doubt the legitimacy of what she says around that? If that's the analogy you're making, no. North Korea and Syria, not even close, with all due respect, Justice Bradley. And then we can get into the analysis of what she does and does not do. But Wisconsinites should take that language in and of itself and recoil in absolute disbelief that we've got a Supreme Court justice talking that way and comparing the use of drop boxes, which have been in use for many, many years here in Wisconsin, without any showing of any election fraud, to what's going on in dictatorships in other places around the world. Stunning, shocking, regrettably, if not surprising.
Jim, let's talk about Brian Hagedorn, this supposed judicial independent. He was a Scott Walker, of course, the former Republican governor. He was a Walker attorney, helped craft that tenet, my understanding. But on the court, he sometimes flips from the conservative side to the liberal side. But he wrote a concurrence, and he basically also said what the majority opinion wrote was bunk, but he went along with it, at least in the 4-3 ruling, which moves the court, right? Moves the ruling along. So whether it's well-founded or not, he's more than willing to go along.
That is absolutely correct. And so it's all about numbers, whether it's the United States Supreme Court or the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The side that has the most votes wins. And in this case, as you indicated, it's 4-3, including Justice Hagedorn. You're absolutely right. He has sometimes, most notably recently, in part, with respect to the redrawing of lines in Wisconsin, initially adopting what was basically the governor's plan for doing that, gets reviewed by the United States Supreme Court, comes back, and I think just surprised an awful lot of people, does almost a 180 on that and says, okay, if we've got some problems around Milwaukee, then we'll throw out the governor's maps entirely and go with the Republican plan. A very curious and, again, not discernible pattern of conduct here.
Well, Jim, and so it's also seems quite contradictory, the fact that Hagedorn also joined with the liberal bloc of the court and upheld the Dane County public health authority right to issue mask mandates on an individual locality level. And that seemingly contradicts the earlier ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. When the governor tried doing it, they said it's not permissible. He's a tyrant. But apparently when Dane County does it, the same justice says it's permissible. I didn't understand the splitting of the affinitive, if you will, counselor. Do you understand the difference of his opinions?
I do not, candidly, and I think a lot of people much brighter and much more astute than I am have looked at this, again, trying to identify a consistent legal pattern, a consistent theory that you can look at and say, this is how this justice works. We often have justices who are moderates, right? They're in the middle, and sometimes we'll go in different directions, but you can almost always identify a basis, a continuing stream that justifies their being slightly to the left, slightly to the right. Frankly, you can look to the many justices in the Supreme Court, even John Roberts from time to time. You can say, okay, we understand sort of where he's coming from, even if you don't always agree with him. Here, it's much more difficult to find that. And I think today's opinion falls in that category. We see a justice here who I think is troubled by what he is seeing out there and feeling out there in his home state. And yet he does throw his vote in the side of the conservatives. And as a result, today in Wisconsin, our elections are less open and they're less accessible for people to vote. The notion that we cannot have drop boxes when they're useful for what? Electricity bills, right? Utility bills, tax payments, all kinds of things out there. They're secure, they're safe. And because we have some odd specter about election fraud and voting irregularities that's completely undefined, we throw our vote in favor of invalidating them. It is very troubling, and once again, not only in the next election, whenever that should be for him, but for other justices, that should be also on the ballot, how you voted in support of ensuring that the franchise is accessible for people generally. I think that's a legitimate point of argument and questioning for Supreme Court justices as candidates and as those who are sitting on the bench.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, sticking around for the happy hour. Jim, thank you for doing so. Patrick Meyerly, formerly with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now making it big at the Washington Post, put a piece up on this today. We put it on our Facebook page. And he notes, as you did, that for years the ballot drop boxes were used without controversy across Wisconsin. But he points out some of these specifics in the law. Specifically that an absentee ballot, quote, must be mailed by the elector or delivered in person to the municipal clerk issuing the ballot or ballots, and also that the no person may receive a ballot from or give a ballot to a person other than the election official in charge. Now, while I am down with locked ballot boxes that were obviously expanded their use during the pandemic of up to like 500, and there's no evidence of Republican Justice Bradley indicating that this is some sort of use for totalitarian means. But if the law itself was ambiguous in some regard or not followed entirely, even though we've already done this, I mean, does this, if nothing else, provide clarity and an opportunity for future legislatures to specifically define that, hey, maybe we had a gray area here and now this is addressed and now the legislature has to do something if we want to have this privilege?
Absolutely. And so we see this all the time where courts say, you know what, the statute does not mean what you think it means and is applied in this particular way. It accomplishes maybe a result that you did not intend. So legislature, you've got to go back and change it. And we've talked about many things, including right now, for example, a fix of many, many things, Voting Rights Act, Roe versus Wade, codifications legislatively. Here, you're absolutely right to take up Patrick Marley's comment. It frankly, it's what Justice Bradley seizes upon. She looks at the statute itself and says, you know, returning an absentee ballot to a municipal clerk does not mean, or has been historically understood to mean, delivery to an unattended ballot drop box. And I would say, yes, the language could be more precise. Let's also understand that legislatures often assemble and we follow legislation. We know what it means. We know what their purpose is. We want to make certain that it's going to its intended target. Here, I would offer that we've got an overly lawyer-like and overly specific reading of a statute intended to ensure that the municipal clerk gets the ballots and they're not interrupted, they're not intercepted for some reason. And can you dance on the head of this pin and make this argument? Sure. And that's what the majority does, and that's what Marley's also inviting discussion about as well. I think it's a misinterpretation of the law and the intent of the law, and I think that's what the minority also advocates for.
Jim, do you think it will have any impact on Wisconsin elections in a significant way? I mean, it was a trend during the pandemic, but there's less impetus to have to absentee ballot vote or to not be able to at least drop it off at the clerk's office.
Sure. And again, that's the impact of having discussions like this, right? We're focusing on what the Supreme Court has done. And so the word is now, you don't rely on those boxes that are out there. I assume they're going to be closed down anyway. And it may not have a dramatic impact because, again, post-academic and post-pandemic, as you just indicated, Mike, people will understand if you want to vote, you got to get that ballot to its proper location. It's part of its education, too. Do not anticipate this ease of voting. It's just a small small, but nonetheless, I would say important hurdle that people putting up to the exercising the franchise in our state.
Well, it's certainly consistent with the voter suppression activities of Republicans these days. Jim, I have a very specific question. I voted absentee early vote, and I went to drop off my ballot at the vestibule between the outer door and the inner door of my Whitefish Bay City Hall / Police Department. And in that building, and perhaps very nearby, are the election officials. I go in the basement when I vote in person normally. What happens in that circumstance? I mean, how close does a person have to be to the box? And is that now going to be illegal, even though it's in a very seemingly secure, camera'd area?
Right. Probably the next lawsuits, right? Is Dominic's a vote? Is yours going to count? And bringing that lawsuit on behalf of yourself and others who are similarly situated, challenging a decision. You know, there's a situation where, once again, you rely on public servants, whether it's police officers or election clerks or people in the city hall there in Whitefish Bay, to say, okay, what is this? This is a ballot. There's no reason to believe it's in any way compromised. Let's get it to that right spot. Plainly, now we know as of this morning that the drop boxes are no longer a proper way to doing that. You know that. I know that. We all know that. But we still rely upon people to focus on ensuring that ballots get to where they should be. Interestingly, the Supreme Court today did not address this other so-called ballot return assistance issue, did not touch that, which is interesting. Obviously, the other side wanted them to discredit and disqualify ballots that are in a very inappropriate term, but it's called harvesting. They didn't touch that at all, which again is curious and interesting, but probably a good thing. Kind of goes to your example. If you need to ensure that a ballot gets to where it should be without any real indication of fraud, that should not be a problem. And it hasn't been a problem in recent past elections.
Jim, President Joe Biden came out today and he signed an executive order and he tried to effectively reassure the American people that there are ways to codify Roe v. Wade. And he suggested go vote, go elect a couple of more Democratic senators as a remedy, hold on to the House. But in terms of executive fiat, signing an executive order, Jim, it was a tip of the cap to the base. It said, hey, I'm fighting for you. But it was something of a feckless effort, no doubt, sir. Or am I wrong, Jim?
No, I think that's right. When you look at the things that are the summaries of what the president did, again, commendations to him for making this effort to send this message to the President of the United States of America, the executive of the White House, speaks about the Supreme Court's decision as being catastrophic for the country. That's no small thing. The executive order is not a small thing either, but it doesn't change the reality, provides some funding perhaps to states that are looking for ways of addressing this issue. It does a few other things around the edges, but doesn't attack the principal issue, which is that the Supreme Court has found that there is no constitutionally vested right to privacy when it comes to reproductive rights, which is huge. And for that, you either need a new Supreme Court reinterpreting the Constitution as it has been since January 22nd of 1973, or you need a federal legislature that's going to codify Roe versus Wade in the House and the Senate. Joe Biden would sign that also. Or then you need to get back into the states and find more than 25, more than half of the states who are going to go in the opposite direction. That last option is not going to happen, not in this present climate. So he's doing what he can. It is not going to change the dynamics a whole lot, but I don't mean to minimize it either.
Jim Santel, probably call it a day, man. I know you got a big show tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, morning cannolis with Jim Santel. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court race next spring, the balance of the court could be at stake. Jim, how big a deal do you think next spring's election is?
It is. Anytime we elect a Supreme Court justice, anytime we appoint a Supreme Court justice, judges generally, it's a big deal. They adjudicate small things we never hear about, contests between private parties that we are not in the docket. But they also address, as we saw today and in other times, big issues. And so who is on that court? Seven people. It's not a lot of human beings. This is not 435 people in the Congress. It's seven people. Every single one of them counts. Every vote in Wisconsin counts as well.
Jim, when are you announcing your candidacy, sir? We got your back, Jim.
I've got a big show tomorrow to do on the wrap-up on Supreme Court cases, and that's what my focus is on tonight.